you grew up in Jamaica.
Yes.
When you were, until you were 12, then you live moved to the United States. Now you came to the Eskimos, and you and your wife made Edmonton your full-time home. Well, she moved up here last season. What was it about Edmonton? You know, because some people from the States, you know, weather-wise, like, man, I don't really like the cold. What is it about Edmonton that, you know, that you've made it your home and you obviously want to finish your career here?
Well, you know, it was always like a great feeling as soon as I got off the plane the first year. All they felt like, you know, this is always going to be home, you know, moved up here full time. Took a couple of years before my fiance then, now my wife, she decided to come up here and actually live up here. She doesn't really mind the cold because she's from Serbia, so
okay.
She's used to it anyway.
And she's working at a bank?
No, she works at MD Financial.
Oh, okay. Oh, so she takes care of your money?
Yeah, the doctors.
Yeah, nice. Was she helping you negotiate? Do you have an agent or do you do the contract negotiations yourself?
I leave it all up to Tim Fleiser.
Okay.
That's my agent.
Oh, okay. The former Eskimo.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. So a guy who knows the defensive side pretty easy. But I remember after you won the Grey Cup, you said, I want to be here, and if the Eskimos want me, I'll be back. And, you know, a few weeks later, obviously, you're a man of your word. When you talked to Tim, it seemed like a pretty easy negotiations.
Pretty easy. You know, in the beginning, it was always, you know, things not going to work out in the beginning. But they usually got right to it, got it done fast before free agency came up, which that's what I wanted.
Now, a lot of guys try free agency. This year potentially could be the biggest free agent crop in CFL history because there were so many, you know, shorter contracts now with the CBA. What was it about free agency that didn't appeal to you?
You know, I didn't want to get up and move again, you know, move to another city. Regardless of not, I still would have made Edmonton my home. But at the same time, too, you know, I didn't want to leave my wife all the way out here and I'll go all the way across country to go chase my dreams. But, you know, Edmonton gave me an offer that I couldn't refuse, so I just took it.
The fact that you won, how much did that play into it?
It played a lot into it. You know, they want to keep the same team together, especially with Coach Jones leaving and going to Sask. But, you know, I mean, business is business. Coach Moss is a great, really great guy. My old teammates from Ottawa, they told me nothing but good things about him. So, and I had a chance to speak with him, so I got a good vibe from him.
Coach Jones, there was a lot of people think, man, the Eskimo players are all going to follow him. And I was kind of telling people, you know what, wait a second. I think, and no disrespect to any coach, but I think the bond between players is tighter necessarily than the bond between the head coach. And the coaching staff was a big part of it, but the players are on the field. They won the game. Collectively, you know, I know Darius Bowman said, I want to come back. I'm going to try to convince most of the free agents to come back. Did you guys as a group talk to one another and say, hey, Almano's coming back, Adarius coming back, hey, JC maybe? Like, do you work now as a recruiter to get some of your free agent guys back?
You know, I actually talk to JC pretty much every single day since football has been over, and AD as well. Most of the time I've just been around Odell for the majority of the time. But, you know, we all talk with each other. We're all saying that we got a good chance to repeat this again. Same team that's going to be back. A lot of us been here since 2011, so might as well just keep it together.
Almano Seawell joins us, signs 2-year extension with the Edmonton Eskimos. You were here in 2011 when the team wasn't winning very much. And the last 2 years, of course, you guys have turned it around. Last season ended on a 10-game winning streak. I don't know if you've ever won 10 straight football games at any level before. As a guy who saw it completely transform, what was the biggest difference you noticed as a guy being on a bad team to being on a championship team?
You know, it was always just keep plugging along, keep going along, keep chopping wood. And that was the thing with us because of, 2013, we weren't that good at all. But we all been there all around each other, so we all got a good set mindset of, like, how the other guy next to us is really going to play. After Terry Laurent left, I'll use him as an example. It took me a while to get used to how Eddie Steele plays and how Donnie O plays. I mean, you need that cohesiveness between groups, and, you know, we all kept it together.
How does Eddie and Donnie play different than Ted?
You know, with Eddie, he's more of a finesse pass rusher guy. With Ted, at least I know that he's the bigger guy, so he'll get the same push that I'm getting. I know we're both on the same level. With Eddie, I know he's going to get off the ball probably maybe a split second faster than I do, but I'll push it back to him, and then that's how it always works out, though.
Now, there was a lot of times, late in the year, you guys are going with a three-man front,
yeah,
right? And you're facing double teams most times anyway, but you're definitely facing them, and you're able to get pressure on it. Now, like, I've talked to a lot of guys about strength, and I was talking to you at the Grey Cup about your off-season training, and you're joking how you just train in, kind of some old beat up gym, but you're bench pressing like 550 pounds.
Actually, 585.
585. Like, ridiculous, man.
Yeah, man. But, you know, that's my all season. You know, I picked the dingiest gym I could find.
Now, why is that?
You know, concentrate more. Commonwealth is way too nice of me to be in there all the time.
Okay.
Can't ever go there and train in there. If I ever go there and train, it's always on the pop-up bags, and that's about it. If anything, I always train over to Shamrock Curling Club. It turns into a powerlifting gym over there. Or this year, I'm going to train at John Chung's gym this year on, it's called Evolve Strength.
Okay.
Yep.
So now you go in there and like bench press, I don't know, like how much do you bench press all the time? Like, do you feel that it really helps in your position, or, you know, how much other stuff are you doing? Because obviously everybody's seen you, your upper body, you know, your arms are bigger than my legs, for goodness sakes. So like, what are you doing to maintain the amount of strength you have? Because every offensive lineman I've talked to say without a doubt the strongest guy in the league is El Mondo.
Well, you know, it's all about, you know, my trainer back home. He's a really good guy named Pepe. Works out of a gym called the Bodybuilding Gym in Akron, Ohio. And he sends me a program every single year and let me know what I want, what I need out of it, things like that. And I had a lot of good conversations going back home. He said, you know, you have to concentrate on your legs the majority of the time. I usually squat more than I lift, so I do a lot more legs than anything.
Now, how much do you squat?
High sevens.
High seven. Like, so now, like, what's a regular, like, if I go, okay, we will watch you at the gym when you're doing like a set of 10, like, you're squatting 500 10 times pretty easy, or 600?
You know, five, I'll go to 10 times.
500 10 times.
Yeah.
Man. Like, do your teammates, like, have any of your teammates, you guys ever jokingly, anybody try to challenge you in any of your weightlifting endeavors?
Nah, not in a long time now. Usually I just train with Corbin Sharoon all the time. So
okay.
He comes down from Leduc and we train together. He's a pretty strong guy too, so we usually push each other.
But he doesn't try to push the 585 bench?
He's pretty much up there right now.
Oh, really?
No, not 585 bench. Okay. That's more maybe on a squat. But not
on a squat, yet. 585.
Yeah, but he's a pretty strong guy though.
Now, what about deadlift? You do deadlifts?
Deadlifts, not really a fan of it.
Okay.
Usually I just do a lot more explosive stuff inside the pool. So that's usually a good thing. And I'm trying to switch it up this year. I'm actually going to start doing boxing too. So
boxing, yeah. Just for increased cardio, like bursts?
Oh, yeah. Definitely a lot better cardio than it is running all the time.
Elmano Sewell joined us. So what about lunges? Are lunges an exercise that help you in football?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You know, it gets you good range of motion. I don't really put that much weights on it at all. Just good range of motion. See how, you know, keep everything flexible and everything like that. Got a lot of body work done as well, too.
Elmano Sewell joins us, signs a two-year extension with the Edmonton Eskimos yesterday, along with Adarius Bowman. You mentioned how you've been in conversation. Were you and AD talking to one another? Say, hey, I'm close. Hey, I'm close. Did you know when he had signed?
No, actually, I didn't. Actually, I left the stadium, and I saw the news release. I said, hey, AD signed back as well? I didn't even know that. Because he left. He's not here right now.
Yeah.
I think he's in Georgia right now. So
you had to be happy when you see that, another all-star back in the fold, because as you mentioned, you talked to Sherritt and, you know, Mike Riley and Odell Willis, and you guys feel that you got a good chance to repeat with, but you got to keep the core intact.
Exactly. That's the main thing right there.
Are you concerned about, like, Willie Jefferson's getting some looks because of his height down in the NFL, and also possibly even Dexter McCoyle, I know, has had some workouts, even Grimes has had some. If all three left, which I think is a big if, I think Jefferson has a really good chance.
Yeah.
The other two, I think, are long shots. But if all three left, like, that would be 25% of your starting 12 on defense. How big of a – you talked about getting used to playing beside the guys, you know, in the D-line. How much time do you think it would take to fill 25% of your starters?
See, what you have to look at, too, is the secondary, especially with Dexter leaving. I mean, he played Sam linebacker sometimes. Well, Otha did. So, you know, those guys, especially at linebacker court, they need to be in, like, a good cohesiveness, because that's probably one of the three hardest positions on the field, right? Like, all of them have to know what each other is doing. So, you know, it's going to put a strain on us, but at the same point, too, that's why we had good depth last year. So that worked out in our favor as well.
Now, the one thing I noticed late in the year, there wasn't as much somersaulting going on.
Nah.
What happened?
We went a lot more three-man rush.
No, not because – but even off. When you got the sacks, you guys weren't somersaulting.
Nah, we just got the business. We just got the job done. That's all we were doing.
Because I love that celebration. I thought it was great. Like, I know opposing teams would always kind of mock it, but to me, it's kind of fun when there's a little character in the game. Like, it's a harmless celebration. It doesn't hurt anybody. It's definitely – you know, can't offend anyone by any stretch. But did you find, like, it really seemed to irk opposing teams?
It did irk opposing teams. That's exactly why we're going to get it starting in this year.
So who – because – now, you did it first, if I recall. And then who was the – was it Odell who said, okay, I got to follow that? Or when did it become a team thing?
Oh, well, after the BC game, Odell was just like, bro, this is all do it. Every time each one get a sack, we all going to get a sack because we were all four-man rushing at that time. So let's all just do it. So that's how it came along.
Now, you went to the three-man rush, and the team was obviously successful with it. But as a D lineman – you prefer the four-man, I'm assuming?
You know, it doesn't really even matter to us.
Okay.
You know, as long as we're going to get pressure regardless. That was a good thing about playing with Odell, Marcus, and Willie and them right there, because I know they're going to blow right upfield, or I'll get upfield, and then one of us is going to fall into a sack. So, you know, it worked out in our favor, actually.
The one big difference I noticed from Chris Jones was the intensity of practice compared to the previous head coach. It really wasn't close from my vantage point. I wasn't on the field. You partook of that. How much do you think the practice pace helped your team on game days?
It helped out tremendously, actually, because for our day 1A, which is usually just a walkthrough with every other team, what we'll do, we'll go to a weight room for an hour. Offense will go to a weight room for an hour. Defense will go there for another hour. We'll come down, watch the game tape, look what we're doing, go outside, walk through the – it's more like a mental preparation, if anything, with him, because as soon as we get out there in day 2 where we have the pads on, we actually have to go full speed or he's going to start the whole practice back over. And he doesn't care about himself, so start it over.
He starts it over.
He started over probably got a good 6-7 times this year. It's actually like, yeah, he just got irritated after a while. But, you know, he means no harm. But
yeah.
But you see what the end of this got us done this year. We won the Grey Cup. So.
And that'll be my next question. After having that success on the practice field as veterans, you've mentioned you've had a conversation with Jason Moss. Is that something you tell the coach, say, hey, coach, we got to practice hard. So, like, not necessarily the exact same way every coach is going to have his different personalities, but after seeing how much it helped your squad, as one of the leaders, would you approach the new coach if you felt your practice intensity wasn't high enough?
You know, if you ever get a chance to speak to Coach Moss, very intense guy about football, very passionate guy about football. I mean, you had to meet him at least once.
I used to cover Moss, man. I could tell you great stories. You should get the film about the time as teammates. Trust me, you should get the film. You ask the Eskimos to just because your team needs to show that to Moss when he loses it on the sidelines to a Gatorade bottle, but he almost loses the fight with the Gatorade bottle. So you got to watch that.
Well, we'll see how it goes. You know, I don't think having practice being like, you know, mess around time, especially with him there, it's too intense about football to be having that type of stuff. So, you know, he's an offensive guy, but also a defensive-minded guy as well, too. So
that was going to be my next question. When you have an offensive-minded coach, but he has a little bit of a linebacker mentality, like he likes aggressive football.
Yeah, oh, he does. I mean, he explained that to me right on the phone. He said, we're not going to be soft towards anything this year. We're going to go right back to what we started off from. So get ready for it.
Amano Sewell joins us, 2-year contract extension with the Edmonton Eskimos signed yesterday. And you told me before we got on air that you're going to file for permanent residency. You want to make Edmonton your long-term home.
Yeah, absolutely. As soon as I leave the country for a little bit, come back up, then start up the process.
How long does that process take, do you know?
I have no idea. Last time I looked into it, it was pretty much easy if you have a good lawyer, which I have right now, so – probably takes, like, what, 6-7 months?
And then you'll live in Edmonton full-time. Did you have conversations with Ed Hervey or other Eskimos who have made the transition from the United States to come in and live in Edmonton well after their playing career? Why do you feel Edmonton's the place you want to live for the rest of your life?
Actually, the first conversation I had with anybody was with Giz.
Okay.
And right over there in the gym, I text him sometimes, too. You know, he always tell me, like, you know, Edmonton's going to be one of those places where you want to live at. You want to live good? Live in Edmonton. And he says, no matter what you do, still live in Edmonton. So I've always had a conversation with him, Ed Hervey. I had a bunch of conversations with Ed about the same thing, too. He said, as soon as you get a chance, get your permanent residency, stay in Canada.
It's been a few weeks since you won the championship. Yeah. When do you get your day with the cup? I know Ryan King has his today. He's turning around. I saw him at the Glen Rose Rehabilitation Center, which is great. A lot of the players showing it with, sharing it with a lot of Edmontonians. Do you have a day? Do you know when you get it yet? Do you have it planned?
Actually, I had it about three times already.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't want to be greedy. Like, I'm not going to say no name. Tony Washington, come on, bro. But that's about it. I might have it one more time again. I'm going to end up bringing it down here.
Oh, hey, I love it. That'd be great. Like, has it been all you kind of thought of winning a championship with the Grey Cup in Edmonton?
Absolutely. You know, it's everything that the older Eskimo guys said to us, the alumni guys, I meant to say, said to us, was everything came true. So on a real feeling, you're out there in Winnipeg, all the lights going off. As soon as you win a championship, you can't actually even believe it yet. I mean, I still don't believe it yet, but we'll see when I get the ring.
Now, speaking of the ring, who is on your ring design committee for your team?
I think it was Johnson's.
No, but the players. Like, don't you have a few veterans that kind of – usually the veterans have – you pick a group of guys to represent the team to pick out your design, or no?
No, I don't think so. I think it was already predetermined already.
Oh, okay.
All I know, the designer company actually came in, so I know that much, but not what the ring looks like.
And so you won't get it. Will you want a sneak preview, or will you just want to wait and have show up and see it for the first time?
I actually want a sneak preview. They said it's supposed to be bigger than the old Montreal Alouettes one, so – if you remember that one back in 2010, that
yes.
was pretty huge.
Well, that
ring,
thing
so.
Was monster. That's now, funny. Are you a ring guy, or are you only going to wear that on special occasions?
Probably going to put it on one time, and it's going right in a jersey case. I already have. I'm getting it done by Pro-Am Sport. As soon as I get the ring, it's going straight in there.
Oh, Jack and the boys at Pro-Am going to yeah. set you up. All right. Well, that's good. The only bad thing about Jack is he's a Packer fan, but other than that, everything's great. Armando, congratulations on winning the Grey Cup, re-signing in Edmonton, and more importantly, making the commitment to make Edmonton your long-term home. I know fans love it when players not only commit on the field but commit to be in the community, and it's a great way to connect to the fans of Edmonton. They're happy to have you. One of only three guys in the league right now who's a three-time All-Star, and obviously hoping to go four in a row next year.
Absolutely. That's the plan.
Thank you very much. Have a very Merry Christmas to you and yours.
All right, Merry Christmas to all.